What would everyone's favorite season be? Huh? Fall, right? You'd be out there raking it in. Gavin and Bradley would probably be volunteering to take care of the church property. Like, we'll rake everything. Yep. So if money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? All right. Every bank has a branch. So, but that kind of got me. I've been following all the government efficiency. So, you know, it's, I know that as Americans and as Christians living in America, we're supposed to pay our taxes, right? We're supposed to abide by the law, which we do, and we pay our taxes. If we like it or not, we pay our taxes. So it's been great to see somebody that people actually now come in and make our government, the beauty of America, right? The real beauty of America is that our government is put into place by the people. So the people now are saying, well, hey, let's review our government, which is a beautiful thing, but yet, oh my goodness, it's so frustrating. You start hearing about, and I'm not sure if you followed any of this, about all the spend on money. So I think about this. So, Tom, how many years have you worked and put your hard-earned money into our government to pay your taxes? Take a ballpark, huh? Forever, right, because you've been working since you're a little kid. Yeah, and I've been working since I was 12 years old. And you know, you pay your taxes and you pay your taxes and you pay your taxes. And you know, we know that we're supposed to pay for roads and we pay for all the stuff and we pay for everything we pay for, right? But then you get into this, and this is just shocking. I made a list. I mean, I took the list of what they just found just in the U.S. I'm sorry, this is not the message, but I'm going off a little haywire, but I'll just read out two of them. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in the Serbia's workplace. But yet, we can't help people in North Carolina who went through devastation, right? It's mind-boggling. Or like this one. $520 million. Tom, that was probably what you made in a year, right? So your salary, okay, went to the environmental, social, and governance for consultants in Africa. In Africa. And there's billions and billions and billions of money that has gone over to stuff that we obviously, that I personally don't agree with as a Christian, for my tax dollar. But what there is, and then this one got me, $50 million for condoms in Gaza. $50 million of working Americans and our kids' future. Like, they've blown past our money we've put in. So all this stuff that's just going, anyhow. So that's how I got into the money aspect this morning of the government think money grows on trees. They think it's falling and it's just raking it in, but it's not. So just keep an eye out on what our government's doing. But now for our card this morning. Why did the golfer bring two pairs of pants? In case he got a hole in one. Very good, Bonnie. Okay. All right. Well, great. All right, moving on. Let's just open up in prayer. We're going to be finishing off on our series of Stephen, where we started the Stephen series, just kind of looking at Stephen as one of the seven, one of the deacons, the first deacons that were commissioned to, you know, disperse and help within the early church. And Stephen, as we know, was martyred, the first Christian martyr. And we first, you know, we started talking off about him, knowing that he was a man full of wisdom and that he was filled with the Spirit. So as we've been looking at Stephen, we've been concentrating on that. And then the last time we talked about Stephen, just talked how he spoke truth, how Stephen wasn't backing down when he talked about truth, but he was speaking truth. So let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just the time that we can be here. We thank you for, even though we've had a lot of snow, Lord, I know back in August and September, we were really looking for some rain. So this is great to have fill up our wells and our water table, Lord. So thank you for the weather, even though it's been happening every Sunday morning. And we just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Help us this morning and meet with us here this morning, Lord. Meet with us that your Spirit will speak to us, Lord. Help us to continue to get a vision for what you want from us, what you want from this church, what you want us individually, that we can minister your gospel well. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 7 this morning. And as we continue down looking at Stephen, Acts chapter 7, we're going to be in verse 51 through 60. And this is coming back to where Stephen just finished off. He's finishing off speaking to the Sanhedrin, which, remember, once again, the Sanhedrin were the ultimate authority, like the Supreme Court of the area. Starting at verse 51, Stephen, just as prior to this, he gives the whole history of the Jewish people, and just laid everything out, that history lesson of the truth of the Jewish people. And then we get to verse 51, and he says, he's talking to this council, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your father did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law, but that was put in effect through the angels, but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And then he made a phone call. Oh, sorry, that's out of here. Just thanks, Braden. Laid the clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, which we know that's coming. And actually, after this today, we're going to kind of maybe keep going into Acts and just finish off this story to see now where Saul's going. But verse 59, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' When he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep." He died. And he went to be with the Lord. You know, when we read this, there's a lot of stuff to kind of unpack and look at this. And as I was thinking about this and kind of pulling out the main things that I saw when we hear Stephen talk about, he said, "You guys, your hearts and your ears, they're full of faithlessness," right? I mean, that's what he was saying. you are a stiff-necked people, and you have never really truly believed, you've been faithless on really what the true meaning of what God has for us, what God has for us as people. That's what he was saying, right? He said, you're circumcised, but not, you know, outwardly. So you're outwardly, everything looks great. Outwardly, everything, you meet the law, the requirements of the law, and the Jews at the time, you know, we still see Orthodox Jews today, right? When we walk in, if you go to the city or wherever else, even when you, yeah, they have the dangles on their, what do they call those, tassels, and sometimes you see them with the box on their head. You know, I even have, mezuzah on my office door. Like, I always love that, the concept and the thought behind the mezuzah on a doorway where you touch it and you pray for the people that are in there. So I have one on my office door, and, but you know, when I first put it up, I'd walk into my office, I'd touch it, and there's, you know, the Torah, portions of the Torah in that thing, and you pray for it. And it's an outward thing, right? But as it's there, I thought about this yesterday. When's the last time and it's been there 5 years. When's the last time I touched that? But when it was first up, man, I was like, yeah, this is cool. You know, it's like, but what does it mean? It's a visual thing. And that's what, and Stephen's saying, you guys are circumcised outwardly, but your hearts and your ears, you're not hearing anything. You don't believe it. You're faithless in your belief with what God truly wants from us. They resist the Spirit. They resist the Spirit. I was thinking about resist. I had this, this pair of boots I bought. And, Darren had a nice pair of boots. And, you know, I saw them and I was like, hey, I'm going to get those boots. Those boots look really nice. And they're not the greatest boots, but they were nice, nice hiking boots, right? So I was like, I'm going to get these boots. So I got these boots. And they were on sale. I was like, I'm going to get these boots. And they hurt my feet. So anyhow, long story short is, they were like suede leather. So I wore them out on a really rainy day. They were hiking boots. And what happens to suede leather on a rainy day? And all of a sudden, like, I was out running with them, I think, and man, my feet were soaking wet. Just like that, the leather just was like a sponge, and it sucked all that water in there, and it did not resist water whatsoever. So, what did I do? So I went out, and you know the spray? The tent spray and the shoe spray, so I go get the spray. And you spray it on there, I took time, I sprayed them on, and that stuff worked great. I mean, I went out in the water and it was like a whole nother boot, and the water beat it up on it and my feet weren't wet and they hurt. That's why as a dad, you're like, hey, these boots really stink. Hey, one of the kids, they think you, how great you are as a dad. Oh, you want those boots? They're really nice. Yeah, I'll take them. Okay, great. And then you're like the hero dad, but you just got rid of something that you didn't want. Anyhow, don't tell Jansen he got a pair of boots that hurt my foot, but anyway, the water beat it up on there and it resisted the water. So the spray, once you put on the boot and applied on there, it resisted the water. And that's what Stephen's saying about the Jewish people in the Sanhedrin, saying, guys, for our whole existence as a Jewish nation, the leading authority of the Jews, the Orthodox, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people that have formed the Sanhedrin, has resisted the Holy Spirit. You've resisted it. You've sprayed yourself with that stuff so the Holy Spirit tries to soak into you and you're just resisting it. And what does he say? You have killed the prophets that came from before. And you killed the prophets that talked about the Messiah. And then when the Messiah came, you even killed him. Why? Because you consistently resist. Your hearts and your ears aren't open to to hearing what the Spirit says you consistently resist. Okay. Then he says that, and then he talks about seeing Christ, and then boom, the wickedness of the religious authority then go to him and crush him and kill him. When I start thinking about that, in their hearts, these guys, and you think about that, so Stephen laid out, and these are the Jewish people, right? All the miracles of their history that have been laid out before them, but yet they didn't want to believe it. Why? Why didn't they want to believe? Yeah, and that's something that I think about even to this day. Like, why don't we, I know for me as well, why so many times don't I, like my heart, I might look good outwardly, right? Wow, you know, Jeff has worked with students for 30 plus years, and Jeff has stepped in to help at the church, and but so outwardly, I look okay. Inwardly, and my heart's in my ears, inwardly, am I where I should be, or any of us, where we should be, or do we sometimes still resist the Spirit, right? I was asking myself that. Do I resist the Spirit? And I got to tell you, sometimes I do. Yeah, I do. I don't want to, but sometimes I resist the Spirit. And I think as the church, are we resisting the Spirit? Because the church is only as good as the people in it, right? The church is just a building. The church is just a foyer and some chairs and some seats and some carpet and paint, and that's the church. But what's in it? It's the people. And the church is only as good as the people in it. So our church, and I'm not talking just our church, right? I'm talking about churches. Are our churches doing what we should be doing and listening, or are we resisting what the Spirit wants us to do as people, therefore affecting our community, therefore reaching out and helping others and ministering to others and reaching lost people? Or are we resisting still the Spirit? And I think sometimes, yes, we resist the Spirit. And I think just like the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin here, if you can't, and I know this is what happens, right? If you can't understand it, sometimes we resist it, right? If we can't understand it. And it took me back. We were at Action the weekend, and I shared my testimony. Someone asked about my testimony again. And it took me back to, you remember when you first got saved? And, or you first really understood Jesus and what the immense impact that he did for your life. And I was telling my story, and I think I told you before about when I was a kid in the fire. Remember that? And so it took me back to that. I'm like, am I still that same faithful faith that I had with Jesus at that time, 30 plus years later? Or have I resisted some of this, what the Spirit wants of me? Have I resisted? Have you resisted? And that was my question to myself. So what do we do? Like if we resist, if we're resisting the Spirit, in even a small way, what are we to do? What do we do to grab that back, to grab that love of Jesus, to grab that love of listening to the Spirit and not resisting? Luke 11:13, we're going to jump over to Luke, kind of give a rundown. Luke 11:13 says this: if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To those who ask him. It takes me back to prayer. Jeff, where's your prayer life? Well, do we want the Spirit? Do I want the Spirit to be active in my life? Do I want to continue sometimes to resist the Spirit? Or how do I get that Spirit back into my life? We got to ask. Because then we jump down to, as we get into that whole chapter of Luke, and I'm going to read this real quick. Luke 11:5-13. Then he said, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me the 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the guy inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. And this is Jesus telling the story. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. He won't get up. Yet the man on the outside, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Why? Because what was this guy doing? The guy kept pounding on his door. It was midnight. It was dark. And the guy was in bed. And sometimes, so you think about this, I think about, okay, if we're supposed to ask, we're supposed to ask, we're supposed to ask, we're supposed to ask. Many times we ask and we step back and we go away onto our own stuff. And we continue and we don't continue to remember that our job of praying is such a vital part of our life. Stephen was full of the Spirit. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin was resisting the Spirit. Two totally different opposite sides, right? Right? It's kind of like a magnet. You know, we have the magnets, they always, the opposing things going on. Stephen, full of the Spirit, even though he was killed, he was full of the Spirit. He was living to God's optimum potential. That's what God wanted from him. And he was living full of the Spirit, and he was full of wisdom. And he, even though he got killed by the, you know, the wickedness, the wicked Pharisee, the Sanhedrin that killed him, he was still living full of the Spirit. Why? He was living full of the Spirit because he was asking. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to, just like that story. The man comes, knocks on your door. I'm not getting out of bed. Leave me alone. He keeps pounding. Now you can't sleep. It's kind of how we're supposed to be with God. God, I need you in my life. I need to be filled with the Spirit. And then we walk away. Well, no. We're supposed to be knocking on the door. God, I need the Spirit in my life. God, I need the Spirit in my life. And guess what? The same thing happened when we see Jacob wrestling, right? He wouldn't let go. As people, we need to have that same thing. We need to be holding on to it. We need to be pounding it, saying, God, please fill me with this. We're not demanding anything from God. God's going to do what he wants. I'll tell you that. We all know that. But we can ask. And that's what God says. He wants us to ask. Ask to be filled and continually filled with the Spirit, to live in a manner that we're not going to resist the Spirit, so we can be more like how this example of Stephen. That we're not going to be resisting the Spirit, but we're going to be filled with the Spirit. And what happens, which we know with Stephen. Stephen being filled with the Spirit, he did miraculous signs. Well, many times in our society today, we think, you know, I believe miracles happen. I truly do. I saw it. I saw it with my eyes. When I gave my testimony to these kids the other week, I remembered that. And I remembered that I saw that miracle set. And when I prayed in that miracle at the time, I just didn't pray one time, Lord, start this fire. I remembered what I did. I sat there and I asked. And I did not stop. I knocked on that door. I kept saying, Lord, I know you can do this. Lord, I know you can do this. Lord, I know you can do this. I didn't stop. In my spiritual life today, shame on me, right? Do I stop? Yeah, I stop. I'll knock on a door. But Lord, you know, I'm coming to you in prayer. And sometimes, yeah, I'm coming to you in prayer, Lord. And I stop. I prayed. I did my thing. Okay, now I'm off to my next thing. I got floors to pour, or I got phone people I got to call on the phone to make a deal happen, or whatever it may be. And I forget. I think we all do that. My prayer for this church, my prayer is for the people in this church, that we will get back to that. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Lord, fill our church up. Lord, help us to reach people. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Help us to reach people. Help me to be to reach people in my family, or encourage people to come to you. Lord, and we just continue to ask, and we continue to pound on his door, because that's what Jesus says we're to do. We're not supposed to just stop, ask once and be done with it. We're supposed to continue. We're supposed to ask. Let's not, and I know for me, let's not continue to resist what the Spirit has for us. Let's pray. And before I'm going to end in this, we're going to pray, but I'm going to end with this verse in prayer. Father, you tell us in 1 Thessalonians, and for everybody, it's chapter 5, verse 19. And this is what we see. Lord, you tell us, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Lord, I ask that I won't be part of putting out your fire. Lord, give me the wisdom, give this church wisdom, that we can light that fire. Lord, help us to continue to pray and ask and ask and ask and ask, that we can be a people and a church that we see from this man, Stephen, who loved you, who is willing to speak the truth, that he did not resist your Spirit and stood the test of time, even though he was murdered. Lord, help us to live a little bit of portion of our spiritual life like that, with a purpose that we're driving to live by your word in our life, to help others to reach out to love. Lord, I pray for that for me, and I pray for that for this church. And Lord, I just pray for I pray for our leaders. I pray for our community leaders. I pray for our local school leaders. And Lord, I just think of those people. And I pray that the Spirit, if there's believers within those groups, that they're asking for the wisdom, that they're asking to be filled with the Spirit, and that you will lead people, Lord, to impact your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.